1893, this is the council meeting, number 3, the health and temperance work. And the council meeting Monday afternoon was conducted by Elder Olson, the time being spent in the consideration of the health work among us as a people. The fact that this work has been connected with this people and this message from the early days of the message, and further, that the Lord has seen fit from time to time to give us instruction in regard to it, shows that it is not one of insignificance or of little importance. The following testimony was read, quote, "The health reform is closely connected with the work of the third message, yet it is not the message. Our preachers should teach the health reform, yet they should not make this the leading theme in the place of the message. Its place is among those subjects which set forth the preparatory work to meet the events brought to view by the message. Among these, it is prominent. I saw that the reason why God did not hear the prayers of his servants for the sick among us more fully was that he could not be glorified in so doing while they were violating the laws of health. I saw that he designed the health reform and health institute to prepare the way for the prayer of faith to be fully answered. Faith and good works should go hand in hand in relieving the afflicted among us and in fitting them to glorify God here and to be saved at the coming of Christ." Close quote. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1, pages 559 and 561. The importance of this work and of looking after it to see that it receives its due attention and that those especially engaged in it are devoted and properly connected with the journal work were dwelt upon at some length. The further extract was read touching this point, quote, "In the vision given me December 25, 1865, I saw that the health reform was a great enterprise, closely connected with the present truth, and that Seventh-day Adventists should have a home for the sick, where they could be treated for their diseases and also learn how to take care of themselves so as to prevent sickness. I saw that a very extensive work could not be accomplished in a short time, as it would not be an easy matter to flood physicians whom God could approve and who would work together harmoniously, disinterestedly, and zealously for the good of suffering humanity. It should ever be kept prominent that the great object to be attained through this channel is not only health, but perfection and the spirit of holiness, which cannot be attained with diseased bodies and minds. This object cannot be secured by working merely from the worldling's standpoint. God will raise up men to qualify them to engage in the work not only as physicians of the body, but of the sin-sick soul, as spiritual fathers to the young and inexperienced." Close quote. Testimony for the Church, Volume 1, pages 553 and 554. Whereupon the following from recent testimonies on health principles was read, quote, "A responsibility to spread the knowledge of hygienic principles rests upon all who have enjoyed the benefits of health reform. This responsibility rests upon every man and woman who claims to be a Seventh-day Adventist, and much more by those who are connected with our health institutions. All should realize that this is an important part of the Lord's great work for the salvation of souls. Let it be the aim of all to be laborers together with God for the uplifting of humanity. All should be educators by precept and example. They should feel a personal responsibility to send forth fully instructed men and women who shall exert a direct and saving influence in the homes, the communities, and the churches to which they go. This would be the very best advertisement that any of our institutions could have. God's blessing will rest upon every effort made to awaken an interest in health reform, for it is needed everywhere. There must be a revival in regard to this matter, for God proposes to accomplish much through this agency. Present temperance with all its advantages in reference to health. Educate people in regard to the laws of life, so that they may know how to preserve health. The efforts put forth at the present time are not meeting the mind of God. Drug medication, as it is generally practiced, is a curse. Educate away from drugs. Use them less and less, and depend more upon hygienic agencies. Then nature will respond to God's physician. Pure air, pure water, proper exercise, a clear conscience. Those who persist in the use of tea, coffee, and flesh meats will feel the need of drugs, but many might recover without one grain of medicine if they would obey the laws of health. Drugs need seldom to be used. Elder Olson remarked that the question of establishing health institutions and other institutions is a very important matter and should receive most careful consideration. He submitted the following extracts touching this matter from testimonies lately received. Quote, "My mind is much perplexed. My soul is burdened because I discern many things which our brethren do not see in regard to the prosperity of our institutions. The medical branch of the work is the most difficult matter now before us. I have received letters from presidents of conferences and from men of property, and have also had interviews with these brethren in reference to establishing health institutions in different states. I could not encourage this without a careful consideration of the wants of the cause of God in every branch. I have brought before their minds the difficulties we have had to meet in the institutions already established, the discouragements that come in because there was such a dearth of men of piety, of principle, of unswerving integrity, of well-balanced minds, of unselfish interests, men who were wholly consecrated to God. Men of this character are the only ones that should have a controlling power in our institutions. I have been shown that the matter of establishing and conducting health institutions should come under the supervision of the General Conference. Such institutions should be established only when, after careful and prayerful consultation, is decided to be essential for the advancement of the work of Bible hygiene and temperance for the good of suffering humanity. Our schools are under the supervision of the General Conference. This body decides as to the advisability of establishing new schools, as to how much means it is wise to invest, and also as to the educational force to be employed. Our medical institutions should stand in the same relation to the General Conference and the great whole. the establishment of a health institution is too important a matter to be left to the independent management of a few interested individuals. If the enterprise is under control of the General Conference, the way is open for deliberate counsel and a careful consideration of the matter, and if it is undertaken, there will be a united force to give its influence and standing, and this will contribute largely to its success. Under such management, a class of workers could be enlisted that otherwise could not be secured, and thus the enterprise would prosper when it would prove a failure in ordinary hands. And furthermore, there must be an authority to guard such an institution so that persons who are not qualified shall not be allowed to grasp responsibility through selfish ambition in their professional line as physicians. The Christian physician cannot maintain a supreme regard for his own individuality, acting in his profession without reference to his fellow physicians, and indifferent or careless in regard to his accountability to God or the relation he sustains to the cause of God at large. He should not enter upon important enterprises, such as the establishment of a sanitarium, upon his own independent judgment, pleasing his desire to serve the cause of God, but in his works serving himself. The question of the relation that physicians and medical workers should sustain to the work in general was touched upon. Elder Olson said he saw no reason why the worker in this line should not sustain the same relation to the work in general as that of other laborers. He called attention to the temptation and tendency of unconsecrated individuals coming to our health institutions and engaging in the work long enough to gain an experience and education in this line, and then leaving them to go into the work upon their own responsibility and for personal interest only, though using their formal instruction and connection with our health institutions as capital to work upon. He raised the question why physicians among us should not receive and carry credentials from the General Conference as duly accredited laborers in this line of work and this feature of the message as well as ministers. He thought the conference should speak more decidedly upon this subject. Some seem to think or act at least as though the health and temperance work was of little importance. Some ministers even are not by instruction and examples to the flock and fit representatives in this matter. The speaker expressed it as his intention to do what he could to raise the standard in this respect. He said it was important that everyone should be true to principle and walk orderly. He submitted the following extracts, also from lay testimonies relating to this point. Quote, I have been shown that the physicians in our health institutions should feel that they are under the same obligation to follow Christ in all their devising and in their connection with their medical line of work as are the workers in our colleges or publishing houses. Not the least selfishness should be practiced in any one of these instrumentalities of God. Human reason and the world's customs are not to be followed. Men who are controlled by selfish desires should not remain connected with our institutions, and their course of action would be better be exposed, that every church of Seventh-day Adventists may know what principles govern these men. This would be a wise and just precaution. For through their medical profession, this class take advantage of interest which the conference has built up at great labor and sustained at great expense. Under the name of Seventh-day Adventists, they establish themselves among our people and represent themselves as working for the good of the cause. They are accepted as Christian physicians, and there is need that men and women should go forth into these various places and act as missionaries in the capacity of Christian physicians, but they should be under the direction of the conference. The people are so anxious to have institutions established that they may encourage men who come among them to take upon them the responsibility of building institutions. But there are many who are practicing physicians who do not work with an eye single to the glory of God, but for the sake of gain to themselves. Close quote. He then gave extracts from late testimonies showing the importance of this line of work, reading as follows, quote, I am much perplexed in regard to many matters concerning the education of men and women to become medical missionaries. I could wish that there were 100 nurses in training where there is one. It ought to be thus. Both men and women can be so much more useful as medical missionaries than as missionaries without the medical education. I am more and more impressed with the fact that a more decided testimony must be borne upon this subject, that more direct efforts must be made to interest the proper persons, setting before them the advantages that every missionary will have in understanding how to treat those who are diseased in body, as well as to minister to sin-sick souls. The double ministration will give the laborer together with God access to homes and will enable him to reach the higher classes of society. An intelligent knowledge of how to treat disease upon hygienic principles will gain the confidence of many who otherwise would not be reached with the truth. I have been surprised at being asked by physicians if I did not think it would be more pleasing to God for them to give up their medical practice and enter the ministry. I am prepared to answer such an inquirer. If you are a Christian and a competent physician, you are qualified to do tenfold more good as a missionary for God than if you were to go forth merely as a preacher of the word. I would advise young men and women to give heed to this matter. Guilt rests upon us as a people who have had much light because we have not appreciated or improved the light given upon health reform. Through misunderstanding and perverted ideas, many souls are deceived. Those who teach others and who should be shepherds of the flock will be held accountable for their willing ignorance and disregard of nature's laws. This is not a matter to be trifled with, to be passed off with a jest. As we approach the close of this world's history, selfishness and violence and crime prevail as in the days of Noah when the old world perished in the waters of the flood. As Bible believers, we need to take our position for righteousness and truth. As a people, we are not doing one-fifth of what we might do as active missionaries. If we were only vitalized by the Holy Spirit, there should be 100 missionaries where there is now one. In every city, there should be a corps of organized, well-disciplined workers, not merely one or two, but scores should be set to work. More attention should be given to training and educating missionaries with special reference to work in cities. Close quote. In closing, he remarked that one reason some have fallen out by the way of late was because they had not been instructed in all points of the truth. They did not accept nor heed the testimonies. But not one principle, not one truth God has given, can be ignored with impunity. Unbelief makes the long, tedious road through the wilderness and prevents our entering the promised land. This is the end of the presentation by Elder Olson.